3. "I took the liberty of designing your pennant," said Rye, resting his elbows on the gallery's marble banister. "I hope you don't mind." Kell cringed. "Do I even want to know what's on it?" Rye tugged the folded piece of fabric from his pocket and handed it over. The cloth was red, and when he unfolded it, he saw the image of a rose in black and white. The rose had been mirrored, folded along the center axis, and reflected. So the design was actually two flowers surrounded by a coil of thorns. "How subtle," said Kell tonelessly. "You could at least pretend to be grateful. And you couldn't have picked something a little more, I don't know, imposing? A serpent? A great beast? A bird of prey?" "A bloody handprint," retorted Rye. "Oh, what about a glowing black eye?" Kell glowered. "You're right," continued Rye. "I should have just drawn a frowning face. But then everyone would know it's you. I thought this was rather fitting." Kell muttered something unkind as he shoved the banner into his pocket. "You're welcome." Kell surveyed the Rose Hall. "You think anyone will notice that I'm... well, that Kamarov Lost is missing from the festivities?" Rye took a sip of his drink. "I doubt it," he said. "But just in case..." He nodded the drink at a lean figure moving through the crowd. Kell was halfway through a sip of wine when he saw the man and nearly choked on it. The figure was tall and slim, with trimmed auburn hair. He was dressed in elegant black trousers and a silver high-collared tunic. But it was the mask tucked under his arm that caught Kell's eye. A single piece of sculpted silver-white metal polished to a high shine. His mask, or rather Kamarov's. "Who on earth is that?" "That, my dear brother, is Kamarov Lost. At least for tonight." "Damn it, Rye, the more people you tell about this plan, the more likely it is to fail." The prince waved a hand. "I've paid our actor handsomely to play the part tonight, and as far as he's concerned, it's because the real Kamarov doesn't care for public displays. This is the only event where all 36 competitors are expected to show their faces, Kamarov included. Besides, Castars is discreet."
"You know him?"
Rye shrugged.
"Our paths have crossed."
"Stop," said Kell. "Please. I don't want to hear about your romantic interludes with the man currently posing as me."
"Don't be obscene. I haven't been with him since he agreed to take up this particular role. And that right there is a testament to my respect for you."
"How flattering." Rye caught the man's eye, and a few moments later, having toured the room, the false Kamarov Lost, well, Kell supposed they were both false, but the copy of the copy, ascended the stairs to the gallery. "Prince Rye," said the man, bowing with a little more flourish than Kell would have used. "And Master Kell," he added reverently.
"Master Lost,"
said Rye cheerfully. The man's eyes, both gray, drifted to Kell. Up close he saw that they were the same height and build. Rye had been thorough.
"I wish you luck in the coming days," said Kell.
The man's smile deepened.
"It is an honor to fight for arms."
"A bit over the top, isn't he?" asked Kell as the impostor returned to the floor.
"Oh, don't be bitter," said Rye. "The important thing is that Kamarov has a face, specifically a face that isn't yours."
"He doesn't have the coat."
"No, unfortunately for us, you can't pull coats out of that coat of yours, and I figured you'd be unwilling to part with it."
"You'd be right." Kell was just turning away when he saw the shadow moving across the floor. A figure dressed in black with the edge of a smirk and a demon's mask. It almost looked like the one he'd seen on Lila the night of Rye's masquerade. The night Astrid had taken Kell prisoner, taken Rye's body for her own. Lila had appeared like a specter on the balcony, dressed in black and wearing a horned mask. She'd worn it then and later as they fled with Rye's dying body between them, and in the sanctuary room as Kell fought to resurrect him. She'd worn it in her hair as they stood in the stone forest at the steps of the White London Castle, and it had hung from her bloody fingers when it was over. "Who is that?" he asked. Rye followed his gaze. "Someone who clearly shares your taste for monochrome. Beyond that..." Rye tugged a folded paper from his pocket and skimmed the roster. "It's not Brost. He's huge. I've met Genard. Must be Stassion." Kel squinted, but the resemblance was already fading. The hair was too short, too dark. The mask different. The smile replaced by hard lines. Kel shook his head. "I know it's mad, but for a second I thought it was..." "Saints, you're seeing her in everyone and everything now, Kel. There's a word for that." "Hallucination?" "Infatuation," Kel snorted. "I'm not infatuated," he said. He just wanted to see her. "Our paths crossed one time, months ago. It happens." "Oh, yes, your relationship with Miss Bard is positively ordinary." "Be quiet." "Crossing worlds, killing royals, saving cities, the marks of every good courtship." "We weren't courting," snapped Kel. "In case you forgot, she left." He didn't mean to sound wounded. It wasn't that she left him. It was simply that she left, and he couldn't follow, even if he'd wanted to. And now she was back. Rye straightened. "When this is over, we should take a trip." Kel rolled his eyes. "Not this again." And then he saw Master Tyrion's white robes moving through the hall below. All night, all week, all month, the Arvin Essen had been avoiding him. "Hold this," he said, passing the prince his drink. Before Rye could argue, Kel was gone.
Lila slipped out before the crowd could thin, the demon mask hanging from one hand and her chosen pennant from the other. Two silver knives crossed against a ground of black. She was in the foyer when she heard the sound of steps behind her. Not crisp boots on marble, but soft, well-worn shoes. "Delilah Bard," said a calm, familiar voice. She stopped mid-stride, then turned. The head priest of the London Sanctuary stood, holding a silver goblet in both hands, his fingers laced. His white robes were trimmed with gold, his silver-white hair groomed but simple around his sharp blue eyes. "Master Tyrion," she said, smiling even as her heart pounded in warning. "Is the Arvin Essen supposed to drink?"
"I don't see why not," he said. "The key to all things, be they magical or alcoholic, is moderation."
He considered the glass.
"Besides, this is water."
"Ah," said Lila, cheating a step back, the mask behind her back. She wasn't entirely sure what to do. Normally her two options upon being cornered were turn and run or fight, but neither seemed appropriate when it came to Master Tyrion. Some small part of her thrilled at being recognized, and she honestly couldn't imagine drawing a knife on Kel's mentor.
"That's quite an outfit you're wearing," observed the Arvin Essen, advancing. "If you wanted an audience with Prince Rye and Master Kel, I'm sure you could simply have called for one. Was a disguise really necessary?" And then reading her expression, "But this disguise wasn't simply a way into the palace, was it?"
"Actually, I'm here as a competitor."
"No, you're not," he said simply.
Lila bristled.
"How would you know?"
"Because I selected them myself."
Lila shrugged.
"One of them must have dropped out."
He gave her a long, appraising look. Was he reading her thoughts? Could he? That was the hardest part of being plunged into a world where magic was possible. It made you wonder if everything was. Lila was neither a skeptic nor a believer. She relied on her gut and the world she could see. but the world she could see had gotten considerably stranger.
"Miss Bard, what trouble have you gotten into now?"
Before she could answer, he went on, "But that isn't the right question, is it? Judging by your appearance, the right question would be, where is Master Elsor?"
Lila cracked a smile. "He's alive and well," she said. "Well, he's alive. Or at least he was the last time I checked."
The priest let out a short exhale.
"He's fine, Master Tiran. But he won't be able to make the Essentash, so I'll be filling in."
There was another brief sigh, heavy with disapproval. "You're the one who encouraged me," challenged Lila.
"I told you to tend your waking power, not cheat your way into an international tournament."
"You told me that I had magic in me. Now you don't think I have what it takes?"
"I don't know what you have, Lila, and neither do you. And while I'm glad to hear that your stay in our world has so far been fruitful, what you need is time and practice and a good deal of discipline."
"Have a little faith, Master Tiran. Some people believe that necessity is the key to flourishing."
"Those people are fools, and you have a dangerous disregard for your own life and the lives of others."
"So I've been told."
She cheated another step back. She was in the doorway now.
"Are you going to try to stop me?"
He shot her a hard blue look.
"Could I?"
"You could try. Arrest me, expose me. We can make a show of it. But I don't think that's what you want. The real Stacion Elsor is on his way to Delanar and won't be back in time to compete. Besides, this tournament, it's important, isn't it?"
She drew a finger down the doorframe.
"For diplomatic relations. There are people here from Vesk and Pharaoh. What do you think they'd do if they knew where I really came from? What would that say about the doors between worlds? What would that say about me? It gets messy rather fast, doesn't it, Master Tiran? But more than that, I think you're curious to see what a grey London girl can do."
Tiran fixed her with his gaze.
"Has anyone ever told you that you're too sharp for your own good?"
"Too sharp, too loud, too reckless. I've heard it all. It's a wonder I'm still alive."
"Indeed."
Lila's hand fell from the door.
"Don't tell Kel."
"Oh, trust me, child. That's the last thing I'll do. When you get caught, I plan on feigning ignorance about all of this."
He lowered his voice and added, mostly to himself,
"This tournament will be the death of me." And then he cleared his throat. "Does he know you're here?"
Lila bit her lip.
"Not yet."
"Do you plan to tell him?" Lila looked to the Rose Hall beyond the priest. She did, didn't she? So what was stopping her? The uncertainty? So long as she knew and he didn't, she was in control. The moment he found out, the balance would shift. Besides, if Kel found out she was competing, if he found out what she'd done to compete, she'd never see the inside of an arena. Hell, she'd probably never see anything again but the inside of a cell. And even if she wasn't arrested, she'd certainly never hear the end of it. She stepped out onto the landing, Tiran in her wake.
"How are they?"
she asked, looking out at the city.
"The princes? They seem well enough. And yet..."
Tiran sounded genuinely concerned.
"What is it?"
she prompted.
"Things have not been the same since the Black Knight. Prince Rai is himself, and yet he isn't. He takes to the streets less often and garners more trouble when he does."
"And Kel?"
Tiran hesitated.
"Some think him responsible for the shadow that crossed our city."
"That's not fair,"
snapped Lila.
"We saved the city."
Tiran gave a shrug as if to say, "Such is the nature of fear and doubt. They breed too easily." Kel and Rai had seemed happy on that balcony, but she could see it. The fraying edges of the disguise, the darkness just beyond.
You better go, said the Arvan Essen. Tomorrow will be... well, it will be something.
Will you cheer for me? She asked, forcing herself to keep her voice light.
I'll pray you don't get yourself killed.
Lila smirked and started down the steps. She was halfway to the street when she heard someone say,
Wait!
But it wasn't Tiran. The voice was younger, one she hadn't heard in 4 months, sharp and low with a touch of strain, as if he were out of breath or holding back. Kel. She hesitated on the stairs, head bowed, fingers aching where they gripped the helmet. She was about to turn around, but he spoke again, calling a name. It wasn't hers.
Tiran, said Kel. Please, wait.
Lila swallowed, her back to the head priest and the black-eyed prince. It took all of her strength to start walking again, and when she didn't look back.
What is it, Master Kel? Asked Tiran. Kel felt the words dry up in his throat. Finally, he managed a single, petulant sentence. You've been avoiding me. The old man's eyes glittered, but he didn't deny the claim. I have many talents, Kel, he said. But believe it or not, deception has never been among them. I suspect it's why I've never won a game of Sanct. Kel raised a brow. He couldn't picture the Arvan Essen playing in the first place. I wanted to thank you for letting Rai and for letting me... I haven't let you do anything, cut in Tiran. Kel cringed. I simply haven't stopped you, because if I've learned one thing about you both, it's that if you want to do a thing, you'll do it. The world be damned. You think I'm being selfish? No, Master Kel, the priest rubbed his eyes. I think you're being human. Kel didn't know if that was a slight coming from the Arvan Essen, who was supposed to think him blessed. I sometimes think I've gone mad. Tiran sighed. Truth be told, I think everyone is mad. I think Rai is mad for putting this scheme together, madder still for planning it so well. His voice fell a measure. I think the king and queen are mad for blaming one son above the other. Kel swallowed. Will they never forgive me? Which would you rather have, their forgiveness or Rai's life? I shouldn't have to choose, he snapped. Tiran's gaze drifted away to the steps and the aisle and the glittering city. The world is neither fair nor right, but it has a way of balancing itself. Magic teaches us that much. But I want you to promise me something. What?
That shrewd blue gaze swiveled back.
That you'll be careful.
I'll do my best.
You know I don't wish to cause Rai pain, but... I'm not asking you to mind Rai's life, you stupid boy. I'm asking you to mind your own.
Master Tiran brought his hand to Kel's face, a familiar calm transferring like heat. Just then Rai appeared, looking cheerfully drunk.
There you are,
he called, wrapping his arm around Kel's shoulders and hissing in his ear.
Hide! Princess Cora is hunting princes!
Kel let Rai drag him back inside, casting one last glance at Tiran, who stood on the steps, his back to the palace, and his eyes on the night.